Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. We are going to talk about a massive, massive Wednesday night slate for tonight. It is Wednesday, January 7th. We are recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern, and I have a bunch of picks for this evening. Last night was a little bit uneventful and also a bit of a struggle. I did not have the best night, but I did end up doing pretty well in that Kings-Mavericks game late in the night because I did have Najee Marshall to go over 12.5 points there. I also added a play on the Kings plus 5.5 that was pretty big. So that was a nice way to kind of end the evening after a really, really slow start. I thought it should have been a little bit better. New Orleans definitely looked like the right side against Los Angeles, but man, that team just completely collapsed in the fourth quarter. And also a pretty bad call went against us. I mean, we had the Pelicans with the points. Marcus Smart fouled Trey Murphy, I believe it was, on a three towards the end of the game, and they ended up overturning it, even though it really kind of looked like a pretty, you know, significant foul on the body to me. So we ended up losing three free throws, and you know, the Lakers ended up covering, but still, it was a tough night, and hopefully we'll bounce back tonight. Not a lot of takeaways from last night overall in terms of just the general NBA. I mean, we did see Memphis beat San Antonio 106-105 in what was a very, very good game. The Grizzlies were playing without Ja Morant in that one. They also were able to survive a very good Wemby performance. Victor Wembanyama had 30 points in 21 minutes, but Memphis was able to find a way to get the win at home. It was another game where Cam Spencer played really well, and probably a game where San Antonio is going to be kicking themselves for not finding a way to win because, like I said, the Grizzlies are shorthanded right now. There was no Ja Morant. They're still playing without Zach Edey. They're still playing without Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr. Just a really bad loss for the Spurs, but a good win for the Grizzlies. And then, like I said, there was that late game between the Kings and Mavericks, and that was actually a really good game. It was one that I kind of joked that, you know, you're a sicko if you end up staying up to watch that game, but obviously I'm a bit of a sicko. I watched the entire thing, and Dallas was down pretty big the entire game, ended up winning late with Cooper Flagg having a really strong game. He had 28-6, had some big buckets late, and just a really good win for the Mavericks. I think the Kings really like looked like they were in the driver's seat for most of it and just kind of fell apart down the stretch. And yeah, I think that this Mavericks team continues to kind of be a fun watch, but I don't want to do too much about last night because I do think this is a huge, huge slate this evening. And actually, there's a ton of games that I'm not even going to talk about because there's just already so much to get to. The games I'm going to skip are Bulls, Pistons, Nuggets, Celtics, Wizards, 76ers, Pelicans, Hawks, and Jazz, Thunder. That might seem like a lot, but you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, I don't love to talk about the games with double-digit spreads, and we have a lot of them tonight. And while Nuggets, Celtics does not have a double-digit spread, it's pretty damn close. The Celtics are 9.5-point favorites at DraftKings Sportsbook right now, but the real reason I'm not talking about that is just because there's so much uncertainty with the Nuggets injury report. It's making it impossible to handicap. They're already without Nikola Jokic and Cameron Johnson. Then the guys that came back last game, you know, Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon, or 2 games ago, whatever it was, they are questionable. Jamal Murray is questionable. I just have no idea who's going to be out there for Denver. So it's really hard to suggest much of anything there. And the other games are just, like I said, double digit spreads. I think we're going to see a lot of blowouts. I don't really like playing anything in these types of games, especially, you know, player props where you're going to have, you know, players not playing the fourth quarter. I will say that in games like that with the player props, if you are expecting a blowout, the best players to go over on are bench players because those are the players that are more likely to play in the fourth quarter once games get out of hand. So that's just a small tip there. But I do want to start with the games tonight that I do have plays on. And it starts with Raptors at Hornets at 7 p.m. Eastern, where at DraftKings, the Raptors are 1.5-point favorites. The total is 230.5. And I actually put in a play for this earlier this morning. I took Charlotte plus 2.5 at minus 113. I like the Hornets to win this game outright, so I would take whatever you can get. I would take the money line if you want to take that. I know this is a bit of a trap game for Charlotte. This team just won by 27 points in Oklahoma City. They are a young team. Maybe they are feeling themselves and, you know, show up tonight with a very lackadaisical effort, but I don't really think we're going to see that. This is a team that's 11-2-1 against the spread in the last 14 games. They have been very, very strong ever since they've kind of just gotten healthy. I mean, the trio of LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, and Con Knipple has been absolutely excellent this season. And when you throw in Miles Bridges and Diabate at the center position, this team gets a little bit better defensively. And they are already elite offensively with those three kind of killers on the court in Ball, Miller, and Knipple. So when Diabate is out there and playing big minutes, this is a really, really strong basketball team. And, you know, there is no Ryan Kalkbrenner tonight. I believe he is out for the evening. And that means that we will see a lot of Diabate. So that really strong lineup that we've seen over this recent stretch for Charlotte should be out there quite a bit tonight. And that is why I kind of like them to win this game. I just think that they have a little bit more firepower than this Raptors team. I think that if you want to face this Raptors team, the best kind of combination you could be for a decent team is like explosive offensively, weak defensively, because I do not believe in Toronto to consistently, you know, get good looks, even though they have some good shot creators on that team. It's a little bit of a clunky offense. I mean, we talked about it all offseason. While they added a lot of talent, a lot of that talent fits together in a strange way, and it can be make for some stretches where this team struggles to get some baskets, and that helps a team like the Hornets that struggles to string together stops. I mean, it might just be built in a little bit with Toronto struggling to get good looks themselves. So I think that Charlotte's going to be able to score on Toronto pretty easily, and I do think that the Hornets will kind of be able to hold their own defensively. And I'll also throw in that the Hornets are 7-5-1 against the spread under Charles Lee in home games with lines of +3 to -3. They're also 31-19-2 against the spread when facing teams with winning records under Lee. And just over the last 15 games in general, Charlotte has been a better team than Toronto. They have a net rating of +2.6 in that span. Toronto is -1.5. I think we're getting points with the better team, and we're getting it at home. So I really like the Hornets in this game. The next game that I have a play for is Magic at Nets. This is a game where the Magic are 1.5-point favorites. The total is 222.5, and this is a really interesting game because, you know, the Magic actually played last night. This is the second leg of a back-to-back, but it was such a bad loss for them in Washington that Jamal Mosley actually pulled his starters. So there wasn't a single starter that played over 25 minutes last night. So it's a weird kind of situation where it is the second leg of a back-to-back, but I don't think that the Magic are going to be suffering from, you know, from any fatigue whatsoever. So I would not make the mistake of thinking Orlando is going to be tired and, you know, not well rested for this game. I think Orlando will be good to go. Whether or not you think they're going to win this game because of that, I don't know. I do not have a play on this game in terms of the side or total. I do think the Magic are a really good team, but they're missing some key pieces right now, with one of them being Franz Wagner. Jalen Suggs has been in and out of the lineup, and the Nets have been really strong defensively for the better part of 3 or 4 weeks now. So really like a month, this team has been very strong on the defensive end of the floor. And the Magic, if you can slow them down offensively, right now they're not as strong defensively, so they are definitely gettable at the moment, and that's why they've been struggling lately. So I would not be surprised if the Nets win, but the play I do have in this game is Yegor Dioman, over 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -104. Over the last 8 games, Dioman's averaging 21.8 PRA. He's had 25-plus in 2 of those contests. And I just do think that this matchup kind of works out really well for him, because this Magic team is pretty weak guarding handoffs. They're not good guarding pick-and-roll ball handlers. Dioman's going to get to do some of that stuff, and I do think he's going to be freed up to kind of attack the basket, knock down some pull-up jumpers. While the Magic are, you know, a pretty good team defending spot-up shooters, they're actually 27th in the NBA guarding pull-up jumpers, and Dioman scores 32% of his points on those. His playmaking has picked up a bit over, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And that is something that I think a lot of us, you know, that like at least study the draft and at least follow the draft, thought that he would be very, very good at when he came into the league. He's a really good passer. He can handle the ball for a player his size. He's an impressive, you know, point forward type, you know, player. And it just hasn't looked like that early in the season, but it's been picking up a little bit lately. I think it helps that he has, you know, Cam Thomas in the lineup, you know, another scorer that when he gets him the ball, he can knock down some shots. But I think we're going to see Dioman have a pretty good game as a scorer. And then I do think you can count on him to have, you know, 3-4 assists, maybe 5 or 6. And rebounding has not been consistent for him, but he is a bigger wing, a bigger guard, whatever you want to call him. Like I said, he's more of a point forward. He's like a 6'9 ball handler. So it's hard to really put him in a box, but he's a solid rebounder. And it's not always consistent, like I just said, but he can go out there and get you 5 or 6. So I just think he's going to fill up the stat sheet in this game. I think it's going to end up being a game where Brooklyn has some success offensively. The next game I want to talk about, it's the game I'm most excited for tonight, is the Clippers at the Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern tip. And I played the Clippers plus 5.5 to win 1.5 units. I also sprinkled the money line at plus 175. I just think that this is a game where, you know, the Clippers have been rolling lately. They are plus 12.1 when you look at net rating over their last 8 games, where they're 7-1 overall. Like, this team has really, really been finding their stride both offensively and defensively. Meanwhile, the Knicks have been pretty miserable coming into this game. They've lost 4 straight games. I don't think it's a coincidence that Josh Hart's been out for New York for the last 6 games. If you look at the last 6 games, New York has a defensive rating of 123.1. That's one of the worst marks in the entire NBA in that span, and it's way higher than their season-long defensive rating of 115.6. This has not been the worst defensive team in the world over the course of the season. They have their weak spots. I mean, it's easy to score against Brunson. It's easy to kind of attack Karl Anthony Towns, but they've been pretty solid for the most part over the course of the year. But everything has kind of fallen apart without Josh Hart. I think that Hart's a really good perimeter defender. He's a good defensive rebounder. And just overall, he's kind of the heart and soul of the team. No pun intended there. But I do think that this is a team that is struggling a little bit right now. Don't think it's fluky. And I think that the Clippers are going to be able to kind of give them some problems. I would like to see James Harden out there. Harden is questionable for Los Angeles with a shoulder injury. He missed their last game, but even if he doesn't play, I think there's a chance the Clippers find a way to keep this close and still find a way to potentially steal the win, because this team has been terrific defensively. I think that they're going to look pretty good defensively against the Knicks. Having Chris Dunn out there to defend Jalen Brunson is a huge help. And even though they have no Derrick Jones Jr. on the wing, a very good defensive player that just hurt his knee again, I still think that they're going to be just fine on the defensive end here. And then offensively, you have Kawhi averaging 35.8 points per game over the last 5 games and just looking like an absolute assassin in the half court setting. So when they are, you know, getting stops, they're able to dump the ball to Kawhi Leonard and let him create a little bit for himself. It makes for a very tough team to beat. And that's why I think the Clippers, you know, are a threat to make the playoffs again. Not a team that anybody's going to want to see in the playoffs. And yeah, I think that they can keep this game close. And if they do have Harden, I really think it's a game they're going to win. So I like the plus 5.5. I like the money line at plus 175 as well. The next game we should talk about is the Suns at the Grizzlies. Suns are laying 4.5 at DraftKings. Total is 231.5. This is a game where I like Phoenix on the money line. I don't know that I want to lay the points, but I do think that the Suns as a money line parlay, you know, kind of anchor this night tonight is something that's definitely worth considering. The Grizzlies did get that big win over the Spurs last night, and maybe they got Ja Morant back tonight, but that was a hard fought win last night. And I think it's really tough to play the second legs of back to backs in general over the course of an entire season, but especially when you're coming off a really tough win over a very good team. It looks like this is a bit of a letdown spot for Memphis, and they are facing a Phoenix team that is absolutely relentless. Just the effort every single night with the Suns is tremendous. So I really think that the Suns, who, you know, are a top 10 team in the league in both half court offense and defense, and just a team that continues to execute at a very high level, will find a way to win this game. I just don't know that they're going to do it by margin. I wouldn't be surprised if they're up kind of 6 or 7 all game and they end up kind of losing on a backdoor cover or something similar to that. But I just wouldn't want to lay the points, but I do like the Suns in money line parlays. But I do like in this game, Mark Williams over 18.5 points and rebounds at minus 114. He only had 12 points and rebounds last game. It was the second leg of a back-to-back, though, and Phoenix either doesn't play Mark Williams or plays him limited minutes when it's the second leg of a back-to-back, because they have been trying very hard to keep him healthy and just kind of rest him and make sure not to put any stress on his knees, his back, anything, because this is obviously a guy that was very close to being traded to the Lakers. Ended up failing his physical. He's had injury concerns throughout his career, and the Suns are playing the long game with him. They do not want to be missing him, especially as they kind of look like a playoff team right now. They want to have Williams out there for a full best of 7 game series. So they are trying to be careful with Williams. But tonight, I think you're going to see his minutes up because they've had a day of rest in between that back-to-back and now. And I do think this is a game where Williams really should be able to dominate. He actually did play very well against Memphis when these teams met in Phoenix on October 29th. He had 20 points and 12 rebounds in that game. He played a pretty big role in just kind of dominating the paint against a team that was without Zach Edey then. And it's a team that is without Zach Edey now. I mean, you know, Memphis remains without Edie, who's been absolutely sensational when he has played this year, but continues to have ankle problems. And I do just kind of think that the Grizzlies are a little bit small and a little bit too small for a guy like Williams, who's massive, who's athletic, has good hands. I think this is a game where we're going to see Williams kind of make his mark as a pick and roll kind of roller. This Memphis team is only 23rd in the NBA at guarding the roll man this season. I think that, you know, Williams will hurt them there. I also think Williams is going to hurt them on putbacks and just overall rebounds. I think he could have, you know, 10 plus tonight, and that would mean that he wouldn't need to do much as a scorer, but I do think he will. So Mark Williams over 18.5 points and rebounds at minus 114, a really strong play. And then the Suns on the money line, something that I will definitely be considering in parlays. And I have one in mind that I'll talk a little bit about later. I'm not positive I'm going to take it, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Headed to the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks for every major sport. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Let's move on now to Lakers at Spurs. This game tips at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The Spurs are 7.5-point favorites in this one, and the total is 236.5. This is a game that's really tough to call because I do think it's another one where the injury report is going to be something you're going to have to monitor. I mean, both of these teams are coming off games last night. The Lakers, as I mentioned, beat the Pelicans last night in New Orleans. The Spurs lost to the Grizzlies in Memphis. I think that means that you have to watch very closely for LeBron James and Victor Wembanyama. I don't know that we're going to see either of them out there tonight. I mean, LeBron joked all of last night after the game that he's 41 years old now. He's always going to be TBD on the second leg of a back-to-back. I'm going to be really kind of focused on whether or not he's out there, because if he plays, I think that 7.5 is a lot of points for a Lakers team that I think is starting to kind of play a little bit better. And I do think the Spurs have been kind of a letdown team a little bit since the NBA Cup ended. But Wemby as well is another one that could be out in the second leg of this back-to-back, just because they're being very, very careful with him because he has dealt with a lot of injuries this year to the calf, to the knee, everything. So I would not be surprised if he's out there tonight. If he's not out there tonight. I do think that there's actually a strong likelihood that he misses this game. And that's why the only play that I have right now is actually De'Aaron Fox over 19.5 points at minus 105. I think that if Wemby doesn't play, this number is really, really low. I mean, Fox is averaging 24.6 points per game in the 14 games he's played without Wemby this season. But even if Wemby plays and plays his, you know, 20 minutes or so, I think that Fox can easily score 20+. I mean, he had 20 against the Lakers on December 10th. This is one of the worst teams in the league defensively. They're especially bad to, guarding at the rim. They can't cover in isolation. They're really, really weak at the point of attack. So I think that Fox to go for 20+ points seems like almost a steal. So I'm a little bit nervous about how easy that looks. It definitely makes me think he could be looking at a dud, but I'm taking it either way. I'm hoping that we end up getting, this could be something that, like, if Wemby's ruled out, this might be up at 23.5 or, 24.5. So if you get this in early, more power to you. But yeah, Fox over 19.5 points and slight lean to the Lakers at +7.5, but I would need to know that LeBron's playing because this team is a little shorthanded right now. I'm not sure they could weather the storm without LeBron. The next game of the night, it's another one that I do think is going to kind of be a little bit sneaky for some people. I think this could end up being the game of the night. It's the Bucks at the Warriors. This game tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Warriors are 5.5-point favorites. The total is 230.5, and I have a really, really strong lean to Milwaukee. And this is the game that I was talking about earlier when I said I might be looking to parlay with the Suns. I think that, a Suns money line, Bucks +10.5, giving yourself a little bit of extra cushion. Parlay pays out at like +118. I know that's a really good offer, so I think that I might end up jumping on that. But I do like Milwaukee to cover the normal spread of 5.5, and I did see 6.5 out there, when I was recording this. So I think that this is a game where the Bucks look like the right side to me. I mean, Milwaukee is 4-1 since Giannis Antetokounmpo returned to action. They have a net rating of +7.2 in those games. And I know this is a big step up in competition compared to what they have played over the course of this stretch. I mean, they played like the Hornets, the Bulls, like they haven't beaten anyone impressive. The Kings, those were their four wins. It was two over the Hornets. It hasn't been a team that has beaten anybody very good, but I do think that Milwaukee is kind of legit. I've said this a lot on the podcast. Like, they have some lineups with Giannis out there that are amongst the best in the entire NBA, you know, especially ones with Ryan Rollins, AJ Green, Miles Turner. You kind of flip-flop between, you know, Kyle Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr. Either way, this team is strong when you have some of the best players on the floor. And I do think that they should be able to keep this game close against the Warriors. And I really wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning it. I mean, this Golden State team is 3-9 against the spread over the last 12 games. They've lost two of their last three contests. Draymond Green is questionable tonight, so you're not even 100% sure they're healthy. But overall, I just think that Milwaukee might be the better team right now. So I'm surprised to see they're getting so many points on the road. I do think that 5.5 is a little bit tough. Definitely tougher when you're playing, you know, at the Chase Center, where Steph Curry can have one of his flurries and just really quickly put a game to bed. That's why I like the idea of taking 10.5 and just having a little bit extra wiggle room. But I will mention that Milwaukee is 10-5 against the spread. Under Doc Rivers is a road underdog of 6.5-12. So if you can get that 6.5, it triggers a pretty favorable situation for the Bucks. They're also 15-11 against the spread when playing with 2 days of rest, which is another advantage that they have coming into this game. And Milwaukee actually beat Golden State by 10 earlier in this season in a game where they did not have Giannis. And Ryan Rollins went for 32 points and 8 assists in that game. And he's kind of an X factor for me tonight. I just think that he's going to do a really good job of defending Steph Curry. This is a guy that leads the NBA in deflections right now. He's good. He gets in your face. He's athletic. I think he's going to give Curry some problems. And offensively, I think he can blow by Curry if Curry ends up being the one that guards him. But he's really good at attacking the rim against pretty much anyone. He can knock down some threes. He's actually just such a good player that, you know, the Bucks get mentioned a lot in Trae Young rumors, and I don't think that they should trade for Trae Young, because I think Rollins at the one is their best bet moving forward, especially on the contract he's on. I think that it makes sense for Milwaukee to make a win now trade. I've said that before. I just don't think it should be for Young. I think it should be for either, you know, a guard or a wing, somebody that could kind of take some pressure off of both Rollins and Giannis. But I would not be looking to replace Rollins. I think that he is a solidified, cemented starter in this league. The last game of the night that I want to talk about is the Rockets at the Blazers. And this is a game that tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Rockets are 6.5-point favorites. The total is 10 p.m. East. The total is 222.5. I don't know what just happened in my brain, but I do think this is a game that actually I like the Blazers, and I did not plan on playing Portland until I started going through some of the numbers and ended up talking myself into this. I took the Blazers at +7.5. I bought a point to make it -127. I always like buying a point if I can get it for less than 20 cents. And I think that, you know, 10 cents for a half a point is generally what you see. So I think I got a pretty good deal here. But I do think that this is a game that the Rockets could struggle in. I mean, this Houston team is just 6-11 against the spread as road favorites of 6.5-12 under Ime Udoka. Meanwhile, Portland is 6-3 against the spread as home underdogs under Tiago Splitter, also 8-2 against the spread as underdogs of 3.5-9.5 just in general. And the Blazers have quietly been playing some good basketball lately. They're 5-1, both straight up and against the spread in their last six games. They come into this game on a three-game winning streak, and they get the Rockets without Alperen Sengun. So this is a Portland team that actually has been rock solid defensively over the last 10 games. They have a defensive rating of 113.6 in that span, and they're going against a Houston team that's without, you know, their second best offensive player at worst. I mean, if you want to say Durant's the best, not fighting you on that. That's one of the best scorers of all time, if not the best scorer of all time. But Sengun is a guy that can absolutely dominate around the basket. He can set up guys, you know, for open shots, just an absolute elite, you know, playmaking hub and just hub in general at the big man position. And I think that not having him is going to make it a little bit tougher on the Rockets to get good looks against this Blazers team. And I think that, you know, Portland has Tumani Kamara to put on Kevin Durant and make him work a little bit. So I think the Blazers are going to look really good defensively in this game. I think that offensively, it might be a little bit tougher for them to score against the Rockets team. It's very good on the defensive end, but that's why you have the 7.5 points. And Portland is a really good home team just historically. So I think this is a game that is going to end up being close. And I did not think that until I kind of took a little bit of a deeper look under the hood at what we have going on with the Blazers, who continue to play without Jrue Holiday, continue to play without Scoot Henderson. But man, they've looked a lot better lately, and I think that they're going to keep it up tonight. Before we recap our best bets, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Let's recap the best bets for tonight, because I do have a bunch of them. I have six right now, and I do think I'm going to end up adding that parlay I mentioned with the Suns money line and Bucks plus 10.5. So let's call it seven. I'll throw that in here right now. But Hornets plus 2.5, minus 113 versus the Raptors. Yegor Geoman over 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists at minus 104 versus the Magic. I have the Clippers plus 5.5 at minus 109 to win 1.5 units against the Knicks, and I also sprinkled Clippers plus 175, risking 0.5 units. I have Mark Williams over 18.5 points and rebounds at minus 114 versus the Grizzlies. De'Aaron Fox over 19.5 points at minus 105 versus the Lakers, and then the Blazers plus 7.5 at minus 127 versus the Rockets. And then, as I just said, I'm going to add that Suns money line against the Grizzlies, and then what was it? Bucks plus 10.5 against the Warriors. That is plus 118 at BetMGM. So I have seven plays for tonight, eight if you count the Clippers money line sprinkle. Hopefully we bounce back after a rough, 3 days here. I'm expecting to bounce back soon. I think I'm due for a really good night. So hopefully it's tonight when we have a lot of these plays. But make sure you join me on a Thursday episode of Hardwood Handicappers, and good luck tonight. Enjoy the night of basketball.